Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And support comes from you, the listeners at WILL. And let's do a collective shake of the hand to the more than 12,000 who contributed during the fiscal year that ended on July the 1st. And they contributed a total of $1.9 million, along with our business underwriters and other local sources of money, so that you can enjoy the programs that you depend on in this year. Thank you to everyone who has contributed to make it possible. And at 8:50... it's time for the pre-opening commodity market report. Dave Dickey is off for another couple of days. He should be back on Wednesday. I'm Jay Pierce. The Midwest direct hog markets are called mostly steady amid uncertain demand. The terminal markets called steady to a dollar higher amid speculation that some plants might need additional loads for today's slaughter and be more willing to pay more on a live basis than push the direct dressed markets up. The top prices at the terminals are expected to range from $47.50 to $50 on a live basis. Peoria, $47.50. That'd be $50 to a dollar higher. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, negotiated swine purchases were $17,034 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $59 to $70, and the weighted average $67.35, a loss of 17 cents from Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.31 to $56.09, and the weighted average was $53.23. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $76.30. Base price range $59.50 to $76.50. The weighted average $69.59. That was a loss of $1.83 from Thursday. And on a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $46.06 to $56.09 with a weighted average of $53.40. We'll take a look at the overnight trade, and we'll talk to Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis about the overnight numbers and what he expects on the opening call today. But first, Mike Sola joins us now with a look at today's agricultural weather.
Well, good morning, Jay. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms across the upper Midwest. Northwestern Corn Belt has been dry, and it doesn't look like they are going to get a whole lot of precipitation out of this event. There will be chances a little bit later in the week for more rain, but again, it looks like, again, the Northwestern Corn Belt will have the least opportunity to pick up significant precipitation. Along the U.S.-Canadian border over the next week or so, anywhere from about a quarter inch in western North Dakota up to maybe a little over an inch in the eastern portion of the Great Lakes, actually the central Great Lakes. The eastern Great Lakes, there'll be a little bit less rainfall there, maybe three quarters of an inch over the week. The area is expecting the heaviest rain pretty much right where we don't need it, stretching across southern Iowa, where as much as 2.5 inches of rain expected over the week, down into northeastern Oklahoma, where better than 4 inches of rain are expected over the next 5 days. Southeastern states, they will see some significant rainfall. It does taper off as it gets into the drought areas, especially across eastern portions of Alabama and through central Georgia. Locations there will probably pick up less than 3/4 of an inch of rain over the week, and along the mid-Atlantic states from around central North Carolina in through eastern South Carolina and extreme eastern Georgia, they may see up to 1.5 to 2 inches of rain. Texas, northeastern Texas, they'll see scattered showers, but it doesn't look like any widespread heavy rainfall. With all the moisture sitting on the surface, they could have some intensified local showers and thunderstorms that produce more flooding in localized area. Over the west, very, very hot conditions will continue to promote winter wheat maturation and the rapid development of irrigated summer crops. However, heat stress and diminishing soil moisture reserves remain a problem for the dryland summer crops, especially across the northwest. Other heat and drought-related concerns, including heavy irrigation demands and sharply elevated risk for additional wildfires, will continue out west. And By the way, western states are only expecting a scattering of showers across a portion of northeastern California and through Nevada. And the desert southwest might get a fetch of moisture off the Pacific and get some scattered showers, but not widespread rainfall. Overall, it does look like the weather in the eastern Corn Belt will be conducive for more growth of the corn and soybeans, although temperatures will start to head downward. Actually, that's probably a good thing, as we will not be subjected to the extreme heat and humidity for a long time. U.S. crops areas trending cooler later this week, and development will be slowed for several days. Rain expected to precede the coolest conditions, with the amounts in the northwestern Corn Belt too light for optimum growth potentials. Most other Corn Belt areas will continue to receive timely rainfall, supporting corn as it reproduces. And again, North Carolina and Virginia crops will be stressed through midweek until that chance for showers and a few thunderstorms pops up there. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Thank you, Mike. Wheat in Kansas City for July opened at 6.03 on the overnight electronic trade. That was down 8 on the open and last trade. September opened at $6 even, down 2.5 on the open, down 3 on the last trade. July wheat on the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 6.01 3/4, up 1 1/4 on the open, 6.5 lower on the last trade. September opened at 6.11 1/2. That was up 1.5 on the open, down 2 on the last trade. December opened at 6.22 1/2, unchanged on the open, down 2 on the last trade. And the March contract at 6.26 was unchanged on the open, down 1 on the last trade. July corn opened at 3.34, down 1/2 on the open, down 7 on the last trade. September at 3.42 1/2 was up 1 on the open, down 4.5 on the last trade. December 3.53 3/4, that was up 1 3/4 on the open, down 4.5 on the last trade. Soybeans for July, 8.61, that was down 3.25 on the open, down 6 3/4 on the last trade. August at 8.70 1/2, up 1 1/4 on the open, down 5 3/4 in the last trade. September soybeans opened at 8.79, down 1/4 on the open, and 7 3/4 lower on the last trade. The November beans at 8.99 opened 3 higher, down 5 3/4 on that last trade. July soybean meal opened at 232.10. That was down 180 on the open, down 90 on the last trade. August at 237.40, up 230 on the open, and down 130 on the last trade. And the August soybean oil opened at 37.35. That was up 2 on the open. They were down 9 on the last trade. And joining us now on the telephone, Brian Maple from FC Stone Company in Indianapolis, Indiana, to take a look at these numbers. And Brian, what did you see on the overnight trade?
Well, the overnight trade was kind of erratic as it went. We started a little bit better and then failed and went down. Gosh, I think corn was down a dime at one point and then came back a little bit later here this morning. It appears there's a lot of skepticism about the rain out here, and this certainly is still a weather market that we're trading. I know going away there was a lot of talk about good rains for especially the northwestern Corn Belt, where it's been a little bit on the dry side, and it appears that those aren't going to materialize quite as well as what we had hoped. I think partially because this front's going to move through rather quickly here tonight and move on down across you guys and us here over the next couple of days. There are several areas that still need a nice little drink, especially right here in the midst of pollination. It is going to cool off, and that'll help the pollination quite a bit. But I think there's certainly a mix of opinions as we move towards the report coming out this week to see what kind of ideas people have on what the production is going to be. We saw informants numbers last week, which were huge, and I think that's got people a little bit second-guessing.
Mm-hmm. And merger vote on the Mercantile Exchange and Board of Trade is, I guess, supposed to come up later today. Board of Trade shareholders and the Merck shareholders will be exchanging votes or holding separate votes on the deal. Has that got any influence? Is anybody thinking about that as they're looking at trading? Markets.
I wouldn't think that would have much effect on what direction the market's going to go, to be honest with you, Jay. I think that the board, those guys are all thinking about it because of their stock in the Board of Trade. But as far as trade action, I wouldn't think that would have much play for us. in how we're going to trade this thing here today.
Okay. Well, we'll consider the weather and this Cummings report. What do you expect on this morning's opens then?
I'm kind of thinking we're going to start a little bit lower, probably 1 to 3 lower corn beans. Wheat probably throw in that same category. And then I think there'll be some people step in and try and buy it back.
Uh-huh.
My concern in beans is that we've really stalled since we got the report out a week and a half ago, whenever it was, that we really haven't been able to do much with it. I think the bulls need this thing to make another run, or we're going to go back and try and fill the gap that we left, which on, I think, November beans, that drops us another 30, 40 cents, something like that. You got to fall to fill the gap, you got to go all the way back to 842, I think.
Yeah. Anything in livestock worth talking about this morning for you?
Well, livestock to me, the hogs have come under a lot of pressure here recently, and I tend to think that we've overdone it. We're going to see these hog markets bounce back. I think cash market will stabilize and the cutout find some support here and try and turn them back up a little bit. We're due for a bounce back higher in the hog market.
Mm-hmm.
Cattle, I haven't read much on the cattle debate, to be honest with you, Jay.
Yeah. The crude oil price is just slightly lower. The Dow is up. Gold and silver up in the latest trades. Anything on the outside markets you're looking at?
Not really spending a lot of time looking at those right now. I think the crude market's been on a solid run. We've hit new highs here just last week, and it's a little surprising on some of the inventory reports that we've had out here. I still think that the heating oil market is low enough that it's going to be tough for these guys to generate biodiesel out of bean oil, priced as high as bean oil is today. And we saw talk last week of financial failures in some of these overseas biodiesel plants, and I think we'll see more of that as the year goes on, and especially Indonesia is sitting here trying to mandate it, but they don't appear to be pushing the support behind it to allow these people to make a profit.
All right, Brian, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jake.
That's Brian Maple of FC Stone in Indianapolis. This is WILL Urbana. Now let's join the BBC News.